Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Now, it's 21st of January, and I have just listened to Sir Keir Starmer give his press conference from Downing Street on the case of I don't know what the YouTube algorithm will allow me to say, on the case of what happened in Northern England in July. Let's put it like that. And it was utterly manipulative, it was utterly unconvincing, and it shows us, it draws attention to what the most parsimonious explanation is for what has happened, for why there has been this incredible cover-up with regard to the incidents in Southport in July. And before I go into that, though, I would like to ask you to do me a bit of a favour. Could you please subscribe? Could you subscribe here on YouTube and could you subscribe on thejollyheretic.com? That's my Substack, where I put all of the most based content, the stuff I can't put on YouTube. I put in-person interviews, I put vlogs, I put films that I make. And if you like what I do, you can support me for the cost of just a pint of beer a month. But subscribe on YouTube, leave a like and share it and all that stuff. I'd be very, very grateful. Okay, back to the video. So what has happened? Keir Starmer has just a press conference with regard to what occurred in Southport on the 29th of July, because Axel Rudakabana has pleaded guilty. He's pleaded guilty to the offences we all know about, and of course he's pleaded guilty to the manufacture of ricin and the consulting of a book related to a certain Islamic organisation. So what we are being told by Sir Keir Starmer is there is not a cover-up. And what I want to beg people is, let us please, please, please not be like Romania in the 1970s and 1980s. I know that it is emotionally satisfying to believe that you live in a good world. I know that it is emotionally satisfying to believe that ultimately your leaders have your interests at heart. And perhaps some of them do. But this is not the case with Sir Keir Starmer. What we know is that immediately upon this occurring on the 29th of July, the following would have come to Sir Keir Starmer's attention. One, this person had form. He had been referred to Prevent, which is an organisation which attempts to stop the radicalisation of young people, once in 2019 and once in 2021. At the age of 13, and there's now a recording of this, he had to be wrestled to the ground by pupils and teachers because he turned up armed at the school. This was a seriously dangerous person who was radicalised by Islam even at the age of 13. He attempted to go to his old school once and commit, I suppose, what would have been some sort of massacre, and was prevented from doing so by his father pleading with the taxi driver not to take him. And then shortly after, a different taxi, of course, took him, and he committed the crime that we know he committed. We know that he was making ricin in his house, which is a seriously dangerous material, and we know that he was consulting banned Al-Qaeda books with regard to committing terrorist offences. All this would have come to Sir Keir Starmer's attention pretty much the moment it occurred, and he has admitted this. What he hasn't admitted is what Charlie Bentley Astor found on her, who I've interviewed on this channel, has shown on her Substack, which is that Sir Keir Starmer was the lawyer involved in the Rudakabana's asylum case. In other words, Sir Keir Starmer and his selfish pursual of human rights law, with human rights really basically just being a euphemism at this point for anti-British, helped to get this family into the country and helped, therefore, to cause this. And that, I think, is the most parsimonious explanation for why there has been a cover-up, for why there are all these contradictions, for why he didn't want it discussed. because ultimately he was in panic mode about how this was going to reflect on him personally and how this was going to reflect on his government. It helps to explain why he reacted in such an emotional way to the riots, why he used the inflammatory language he did about people that were angry about what happened, because he was in chaos, because ultimately this comes back to him personally. Now, he was asked in his presentation at Downing Street, he said, oh, you can't blame all this on immigration. There's lots of things involved. You can blame all this on immigration. The person that committed these crimes was a second generation immigrant from Rwanda, where there is a history of killing people with knives. He killed people with knives, and he wouldn't even be in the country, it seems, if it wasn't in part because of Sir Keir Starmer's involvement in his case. So, causally, what happened in Southport is Sir Keir Starmer's fault. He stated that though nothing should be off the table and there should be an inquiry. There needs to be a national inquiry into this, he said. Well, why is there then not a national inquiry into the grooming ground that we have in Rotherham, in Rochdale, in such places? Why are things off the table there? Why is there not an inquiry there? He says that no stone should be left unturned. Every failure must be exposed and dealt with. Hence, there must be an inquiry into what happened in Southport. Why no inquiry then into what happened in Rotherham, into what happened in Rochdale? Why? Obviously, because they don't want the failures exposed. They don't want things dealt with. They know there are certain unpleasant things lying under these stones, so the stones shouldn't be left unturned. Then he asserted that, we couldn't report anything because we needed to work towards a guilty verdict, and the guilty verdict wouldn't have happened if we'd reported things. That is absolute rubbish. First of all, you shouldn't work towards a guilty verdict. You should work towards the correct verdict. And Axel should be considered innocent until proven guilty, as they have stressed. You don't work towards a guilty verdict. You work towards the correct verdict, a verdict. The prosecution will gather the evidence and present it. The defence will defend. You shouldn't work towards a verdict. He states that we couldn't have this information out there because it would prejudice the trial. And when he was asked about this, he said, he came up with some sophistry. No, there are numerous trials where the information has been about the full details of what has allegedly happened has been put out there, and where the backgrounds and all kinds of background information about the people involved in the trials has been put out there without it prejudicing the trial. We knew everything about Rose and Fred, about Rose West, when she went on trial in the 1990s. We knew all her background, we knew everything, but yet it wasn't perceived to prejudice the trial. There have been many other cases where all of the background information has been allowed to be out there, but it wasn't perceived to prejudice the trial. It was perceived to do so in this case because they were in panic mode. And they were in panic mode because incompetence at the high and machinations against the British at the highest level has brought this situation about. And so they had to be able to control it more, and they had to be able to limit the conveyance of information more, precisely because this goes to the heart of the establishment. This is a cover up. He says that it's not right to disclose the details in case the trial collapses. Well, the details were exposed in the Rigby case. In the Lee Rigby case, the details of the attacker were exposed there. So, and his trial didn't collapse. So I'm unclear on why in this case, in this specific case, and Starmer does not make it clear why, the details had to be covered up. So these details could have been released before the trial. And could have ensured that. Now, he was asked, do you think that you didn't release those details because you were concerned it would inflame further riots? And he didn't say no to that, but he also didn't say yes. He simply refused to answer the question. And he refused to confront the fact that had been put to him by a journalist, I think it was a journalist from The Sun, that there was a period between arrest and being charged where Starmer and the establishment knew about the full details of this boy's background, that he was basically a terrorist from the age of 13, and refused to reveal it to the public, with their justification stating that it would prejudice a trial and they were working towards a guilty verdict. But it wouldn't prejudice a trial if it was revealed in that period. So it's not true. And then he is asked, well, did you not reveal it in that period because it was felt that it would inflame public feeling or whatever and it would cause further riots? And he didn't answer the question. He didn't say, so I'm assuming he probably didn't think it would do that. So there's no logic in what he's saying. We are being lied to. He was asked about whether he should have used the term far right about people, whether that was a good idea, and he refused to answer the question. He refused to say he should or he shouldn't have done so. He just fudged the question and said that it's important that people behave and they don't riot and things like that. So interesting. He didn't want to admit that he shouldn't have done that, which would imply that we shouldn't go around calling people far right, but he didn't want to say that he should do that because that would make people even more angry. The next case is that they refused to argue that what happened in Stockport was terror-related. But how could it not? I think in any other circumstances you would say that it is terror-related. Obviously, the guy's influenced by Al-Qaeda. The guy is understood, as far back as the age of 13, he was 17 when he committed the crimes, to be influenced by Islamic terrorism. So it is definitely terror-related. How could it not be? But they proclaim that it is not terror-related. Why do they do this? Because then, of course, it would show up, it would be very clear that these murders were a result of their failures. Of their failures to act. The authorities' failures to act with regard to 2019 and 2021, when he was referred by his school and whatever to prevent. Now, why did they not act? The answer seems to me fairly obvious. It's for politically correct reasons. The authorities have been placed under pressure to not come across as racist or as Islamophobic. And so whereas they should be spending all of their time focusing on the terror threat faced to the UK by Islam and to the UK by a foreign ideology, instead they're spending their time stopping so-called far-right people at the border when they enter the UK. And there have been many examples of this. I don't know if I should name these people, but you will, if you watch my channel, you will know of some of them. People who have been stopped, prominent YouTubers, who have been stopped at the border and searched and had their data taken and had saliva samples taken and interviewed for 3 hours and God knows what, to fulfil a quota of the idea that the far right, the European, the native far right, are a danger to the UK. And when they were focusing on doing that, they shouldn't have been focusing on doing that. They should obviously have been focusing on people like Axel Rudakabana, but they weren't. And so what we have is a cover-up in which there are more and more holes in which we get back to the essence of what has happened, which is that the authorities knew that there was this terrorist, this potential terrorist called Axel Rudakabana in Southport. The authorities, he was referred to prevent in 2019 for his violent behaviour at school. He was referred to prevent again in 2021, twice, for his violent and troubling behaviour. He had information by Al-Qaeda making it very, very clear what his motivations were. Indeed, a friend of mine who is a YouTuber was contacted by somebody from that school, a pupil, stating that this guy was always going on about Palestine and was, you know, basically influenced by Islamic terrorism. So they knew all that and they did nothing about it, and they let, essentially, therefore, it is the fault of the authorities. They did nothing about it, presumably because they thought it would look racist, or they thought it would look Islamophobic or whatever to do something about it. And then you had this absolutely appalling situation as a result of their failure. But the further failure is why they were even in the country. What has this country got to do with Rwanda? Nothing. What were they? Is this country the next safe country from Rwanda? No. So what were they doing? Does this country have any historic connection to Rwanda? No. So what were they doing in this country? And it seems that the reason the family were here, if Charlie Bentley Astor's research is correct on her Substack, is because of Keir Starmer personally. And that is what caused all these things together, caused this total panic and led to a strong desire to control the situation, to damage limitation, really, if nothing else, to just control the situation, make sure we're in control so nothing else ghastly can come out. And that is why we have seen this completely illogical cover-up, this idea that you can't talk about the details of the trial because it might prejudice the trial, which is rubbish because legally you could talk about it in certain periods of time, which they didn't because they suppressed the information about there being a terrorist link and about there being an Islamic link. And they prosecuted people who stated, for whatever, false information or whatever, who stated that there was an Islamic link, knowing that there was, they stated that there's no link to Islam, there's no link to terrorism, this person is a Welsh choir boy, he likes dressing up as Doctor Who. Knowing perfectly well that all of this was absolute nonsense. And they did that because it was such a panic, because this goes up to the highest level of incompetence and left-wing anti-Britishness, including the Prime Minister himself, that they had to keep in control of the situation. So that's what we've seen. It's like being in the Soviet Union, where the important thing is that they just control things. They have a sense, have a feeling of being in control. And that is what it was about. And I think more and more details of this are going to come out, and eventually the Prime Minister's situation is going to be untenable. It is now very, very clear. Keir Starmer has the blood of those three little girls on his hands. He has the trauma of the eight other children that were stabbed and of the two adults that were stabbed and survived on his hands. This was ultimately his fault. And it was because of human rights law, which he practices, that this happened. And that is why he reacted as emotionally as he did. That is why he basically went mad, called people far right, had loads and loads of people chucked in prison, corrupted the legal system and stated you will be tried, you will be found guilty, put pressure on judges, essentially suspended normal democracy and civil rights because he was in absolute panic mode and the government were in absolute panic mode. And this only goes to show it. This man is a danger to everything that the history of England, that England holds dear. And this man must go.
Are you ready for the future of the West?